Hey, this is Ari. Welcome back to the Energy Blueprint Podcast. With me today is Danny Dreyer, who is the founder and author of Qi Running, which is an approach to running technique based on the movement principles of Tai Chi. He and his wife, Catherine, have authored three seminal books on mindful movement, Qi Running, Qi Walking, and Qi Marathon, all published with Simon & Schuster. Qi Running is now printed in 15 different languages and taught by over 200 certified instructors in 23 countries around the world. Qi Running elevates running beyond a sport or a fitness regimen, turning it into a mindful practice akin to yoga, Pilates, or Tai Chi, allowing your whole body and mind to participate in the act of running. In fact, Danny says that the most difficult part of learning to run well is changing your mindset, learning to accomplish more speed or distance with less effort, less recovery, and fewer injuries by focusing your mind, relaxing your body, and doing less. This is a very, very interesting conversation that even if you're not a runner and you're not into running or interested in running, I still think you're going to get a lot of value from. And as you'll hear as we discuss this, many of the principles that he speaks about with regards to Qi running are things that can be applied even to just the simple act of walking, which of course we all do, and as well as having a translation into many other aspects of our life. So I think if you see beyond the sort of surface level discussion of Qi running as a specific practice that applies only in the context of running as a form of exercise, but you start to see these principles in action within all of the movement that you're doing, and even the simple act of locomotion, of walking, I think you'll get a lot of value from this. I think there's a lot of insight to be gleaned from this methodology, even as a philosophy, as a way of being in the world, and as a way of seeing things, certainly in the literal sense of our movement practices. So enjoy this very insightful conversation with Danny Dreyer. Well, welcome to the show, Danny. Such a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, great to be on here, Ari. Thanks.
So as we were just talking about before I clicked the record button, I remember around 20 years ago seeing this book, Qi Running, and being very intrigued by it. And I read it at the time. I wasn't a runner, but I was very enamored with Qi, with Qigong and Tai Chi, yeah. And I was very into martial arts and sort of esoteric yoga and meditation, Qigong and that whole world. And mm-hmm. So I remember skim reading your book a long time ago, even though I wasn't very interested in running. And here we are, roughly 20 years yeah. later, and you're still doing this. You're still doing podcasts talking about Qi running. So. Yep. First of all, for people who are not familiar with it, what is Qi running?
Well, Qi running is really a hybrid version of running. And I got to it from, for many years, I was an ultra marathoner. So I was really long distance running. And about, 20 years into that career, I started learning Tai Chi and realized what an incredible impact having mindful body movement could play on running. And then I realized, obviously, it could go into any activity, golf, any physical activity. Then I realized you could take it into any intellectual activity or any emotional activity. So all the principles from Tai Chi apply on all those three levels.
Okay. And what are those principles?
The principles, the main one is alignment and relaxation. If you watch anybody that's really good at Tai Chi, you'll notice that their body alignment is really important. If you want to make a turn, you have to be economical about how you position yourself and how you support yourself, all right? Or if you're throwing a kick or a punch or anything, you have to be aligned with what you're doing. But you also have to be very relaxed, because if you're tense, you can't move as quickly, as easily. You could get injured. You're just not as effective if you're holding tension or if your technique isn't good. So both of those play. So our overriding theme, we broke it into Qi running and Qi walking. The overriding thing is energy efficiency and injury prevention. So it applies to walkers, runners, doesn't matter what you do, skateboarders, you know. So if you have that theme going on all the time, always looking to be the most efficient, and also always looking to prevent injury. That covers just about everything, and it kind of informs then how you approach the activity you're doing.
Mm-hmm. I was having a discussion with one of my friends, Ben Pakulski, who's a former elite level bodybuilder, who was Mr. Canada, and then he went on to place number two or number three in Mr. Olympia, the biggest bodybuilding competition in the world, the biggest, freakiest muscle bodybuilders in the world. You know, these guys who are walking around at 300 pounds of muscle. And he's a very smart guy, and he's shifted out of that to much more of a focus on longevity now. Yeah. And he has his own brand around muscle intelligence and his own podcast. I've featured him here. But he's a personal friend of mine, and I was working out with him last time he came down to Costa Rica to visit me. And we were talking about something that I feel is very related to this, which is being in the bodybuilding world for many years. And obviously he was doing it at an elite level. I was just sort of dabbling in it as a natural, so to speak, not chemically enhanced. And what I always noticed from so many years of doing that kind of training in the gym is that whenever I went into natural movements, whenever I was riding a bike or hiking or surfing or whatever it was, I always felt like my muscles would start burning a lot faster. I would be exhausted much sooner than other people. And there was this sort of paradoxical thing going on, because I was highly fit. I was a very muscular, lean guy. I still am, but I train very differently now. And yet I felt like I was getting exhausted.
Yeah.
And things were much more difficult for me relative to somebody who wasn't even trained, didn't even work out a tenth as much as I did, wasn't nearly as strong as I was, and all this sort of thing. And you know, he explained it really well. He said, you know, bodybuilders are essentially training in almost the exact opposite way from how an athlete would train. When you're training as a bodybuilder, you're almost striving to be as inefficient as possible, to go as slow and isolate all the tension on this specific muscle and make the lightest loads possible, as hard as possible for the muscles that you're trying to grow. And and when you're training as an athlete, you're striving for the opposite. You're striving to take a given load and make it as energetically efficient as least costly energetically as possible. And absolutely, I feel like that whole discussion I had with him ties in very much to the dynamics you're talking about.
Yeah. And, you know, you said the magic word when he talked about the word longevity. You know, if you really study Tai Chi or Qigong, the Chinese call it a longevity practice, you know. And what does that mean? It means that you don't want to expend more energy using a muscle than it's ready to provide, or more than you need. If you overuse a muscle, then it's going to fatigue, right? So there's for runners, for almost any athlete, there's two main reasons for injury, but I'll cover running because that's what I do, is impact and overuse. That's the two ways you can get hurt: impact and overuse. So impact involves your bones and joints, right? Overuse involves your muscles. So one is hard tissue and one is soft tissue. And if you overuse your muscles, you're either going to overstretch a muscle, or you're going to ask more of it than it's ready to supply. And then you'll pull a muscle, or, you know, it'll fatigue too early. If, on the other hand, if you do whatever activity you're doing, you do it with a thought in the back of your mind of like, I want to do this with the least amount of energy used to create the most outcome. Okay. That's a really different mindset, you know, to approach anything. So using the least amount of energy. So when I have trained, you know, running athletes, they come to me and they're used to the normal paradigm of building stronger muscles to run faster or farther, you know. But if you look at the Kenyans, you know, they're calves are like as big as my forearm and their quads are about as big as my upper arm. They have really not large muscles. But what they do have is a lot of relaxation in their technique. Mm-hmm. And so if you can use your technique in a way to where you really clean up what I tell people to do, you want to get fast, get rid of what slows you down. Don't try to build more muscles to go faster. Get rid of what slows you down. If you can do that, you're three quarters of the way to being a much faster person than you imagined you could be.
And what is that people are getting rid of?
So getting rid of what slows you down. Uh-huh. The things that slow you down are muscle tension, lack of fluidity in your stride, poor postural habits, tension in your mind, like pressing all the time. A lot of athletes are always like, you know, in fight or flight. That's how they get the job done. Mm-hmm. And they think that that's going to really get the job done, but that's why you get exhausted rather than going into a more relaxed mode where you're doing the same event, but you're dropping into the parasympathetic nervous system, which is much more relaxed. Your breathing is easier. You're burning fat, you know, with the sympathetic nervous system. You just start cranking through calories and muscle glycogen and, you know, shooting in, you know, endorphins and adrenaline through your body. It's like, no wonder you get tired, you know. But if you take it in a wholly different way where you're really practicing to clean up your movement, clean up how you do what you're doing to where there's just no wasted motion, right? And that can be any physical activity, any intellectual activity, any emotional activity, you know, same principles apply. If you're going to start a business, you want to be zeroed in and aligned with the direction you're headed. That gets rid of half the stuff that's going to slow you down, right? Then you work at what blocks your energy. Okay, then you're not left with having to produce more energy to overcome how inefficient you move. You just move more efficiently. That means you burn less fuel and on down the line, everything that implies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is this something that someone would notice if they saw a runner doing chi running versus a normal runner? Maybe not the untrained eye of somebody who's not used to watching runners, but if, let's say, somebody who is a runner, if they saw somebody running down the street who's doing chi running, would they notice something? Oh, that's interesting. Like, that person seems to be doing something a bit different.
They would notice something different. Well, the person would still look like a runner, uh-huh, running down the street, but they would really look like they're much more relaxed, much more fluid, an ease in their movement, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like you look at the difference between, you know, Western civilization and how the Kenyans run, for instance. The Kenyans look like they're up in the front pack, you know, whistling pop tunes and chatting it up with the guy that's running next to them. They don't work that hard. They look really different than all the second pack chasing them down. Those guys are like, you know, busting their buns trying to like keep up with the lead pack. They're doing it all wrong.
So the Westerners, the North Americans, the Europeans, yeah, are trying to build strength in the gym and trying to do it more by force than
by force.
Whereas the Kenyans are doing it more by relaxation.
Well, by relaxation, the interesting thing that comes in with more relaxation is that instead of relying so much on muscle contraction to power your movement, you rely more on fascial resistance, mm-hmm, and elasticity and recoil, right? So you see the Kenyans have a huge stride coming out behind them, right? That huge stride loads their whole fascial system like a big rubber band, right? As soon as their foot comes off the ground, that recoils and brings their leg forward. So they don't have to use their quads to swing their leg forward. It comes out of a recoil of the stretch in their tendons and ligaments and fascia. So you're using a really different system of moving your body. And what that means is that if you can train yourself to use the fascial system of your body. And that's what Qi running does. It shows you how to move to create more stretch, more resilience, more relaxation. Then, you know, your fascia doesn't burn. Mm. It doesn't burn. It doesn't have mitochondria. It doesn't like consume fuel. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about being more efficient, I'd rather use a rubber band motor than a piston engine, you know? So you just load the rubber band, and then when it recoils, there's your movement. And a lot of the forward motion from Qi running, it's designed in a way where you use the pull of gravity. So there's an external force that can pull you all day long. Mm-hmm. You use the gravity to pull your body and the road moving underneath you to load that fascial string. It's like that's where the stretch comes from, is the road moving your leg to the rear. Mm-hmm. But you're not pushing your legs. You're allowing all this movement, allowing gravity to pull you forward while you're allowing the road to load your spring. Mm-hmm. Way different.
Can you talk to me about the role of posture in running and walking? And, you know, I'll say as an interesting anecdote, at least interesting to me, I've always hated running. Mm-hmm. I always loved sprinting, but I've always hated distance running. I mean, even since I was a kid in PE class, I remember dreading having to run laps. I used to love sprinting and doing races and jumping high and anything fast and explosive and short duration. But the idea of running a mile or 2 miles was like something that just felt like totally masochistic. It felt like suffering to me in my whole life. And I was honestly kind of annoyed with myself for having this attitude towards endurance activities. So I took it upon myself recently to actually start running, really for the first time in my life. And I, after not doing any much running in, for many, many years, I started this. I started running at the beach. But one of the things that I found is that I carried a lot of tension, like in my head and my traps, and just the bouncing motion of just holding my arms up and sort of the activity here of these neck and traps and upper back muscles just to manage mm-hmm. what the arms are doing with each stride, for me created quite a bit of tension. So I'm wondering, maybe there was something posturally that I'm doing wrong, or something I could optimize as far as posture is concerned.
Yeah, there's a lot that you can do. But what I will say about posture is that, you know, when you're standing upright, your posture is important, because when you're standing upright, the idea is that you want to have your bones supporting your body. Good alignment. Postural alignment means you're lining up your bones. So your head is centered over your torso, and your torso is centered over your pelvis, and your pelvis lands right over your feet. So you want to keep this alignment happening. And usually it runs between a straight line between your ear, your shoulder, your hip bone, like greater trochanter, that hip bone, and your ankle. So a straight line. So there's your support system. So every time you land, you want to have your foot underneath that support system. If it bends, if you bend or have an or way arch back, lordosis, or bending at the waist or anything, completely throws off where your center of mass is, right? So if you bend at the waist, all of a sudden your center of mass is generally, you know, same place as your dantian, you know, your center in Tai Chi, okay? If your center of mass is right over your feet, you have to use your legs to push you forward. So people that bend at the waist, their center of mass is still over their feet, so they have to push this center of mass forward. On the other hand, if you have this straight posture and a center of mass in the middle, and you let your center of mass fall slightly in front of where your feet are contacting the ground, you become a falling object, like a tree just being cut down, right? So as long as your center of mass is ahead of your feet, gravity will tend to pull you over. Mm-hmm. And then all you do is cooperate with that pull of gravity by picking up your feet to keep up with the pull. Right. And so posture is important because as soon as you bend at the waist, it throws off that whole system of physics. Mm-hmm. And then you have to resort to muscles to let it happen.
Yeah.
So it's important that just in Tai Chi, in Tai Chi or any martial art, really, it's you get the most power if you move from your center. You know, if you're throwing a punch, you move your center first, and then your arm becomes the output of your center moving. Mm-hmm. Always move from your center, you know. So in your if you're moving from that place, then all of the power comes from where the largest group of muscles is, your core, right? That means that everything more distal, everything on down the line, down to your fingers, down to your toes, if you look at how the body is built, everything further away from your core is smaller and smaller and smaller. By the time you get down to your toes, that's a little tiny muscle. In Tai Chi, they rely on every part of the body to cooperate together, but only playing its relative part. So your toes are small, so they have very little to do with the whole motion of your body. They have some, but very little, okay? But if you over-rely on those all those distal muscles and parts, that's an overuse injury, right? Because it's overused. You know, if people who run with their toes, like sprinters, you know, you're using the smallest part of your leg to propel this whole body forward. That's why people get injured. That's why all the injuries in running come from below the knee, you know, knee problems, calf pulls, Achilles tendon, you know, all of that stuff comes from below the knee, most running injuries. So my whole thing when I started this whole Qi running thing was, energy efficiency and injury prevention. So it's all about, you want to prevent injury, whether you're walking or running or doing anything, don't rely on the small parts. Mm-hmm. So if you can consolidate or centralize, you know, your power and your movement, everything happens way different, way differently.
Given that Qi running has been around for roughly 20 years at this point, mm-hmm. Have you guys gathered any data or evidence of mm-hmm. any kind on injury rates or other aspects of performance from the people who are engaging in Qi running?
Yeah, we had a study done by a guy from University of North Carolina who did a study for the military, and then he did a PhD on running efficiency, and he compared the energy efficiency of Qi running to what we call conventional running, right? And he found a distinct difference. But also he then followed it up with a study on impact, how much impact you had with the ground, because he was studying for injuries. And he found out that the amount of impact with Qi running was significantly lower than people who were just regular runners. Mm-hmm. You know, so we have studies that show that it is more efficient for sure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of anecdotal evidence, you know, like I'll give you an example. I run every Sunday with a running group. We do trails, you know, I live in Asheville, North Carolina, so we do lots of hills and trails. Everybody that I run with is a group of about eight people or something like that, is probably, you know, most of them are between 30 and 45, right? And I have no problem at all running, keeping up with them. And most of the time they can't keep up with me when I'm doing downhills.
And how old are you, just for people listening and not watching the video?
I'm 73.
Damn, you look amazing for 73.
So,
well done.
Yeah.
I want to be like you when I'm 73.
I want to look like you when I'm 73.
So
it really worked. And they always marvel at what I'm doing. You know, they always go, oh my God, he's like from another planet, because mm-hmm. they're huffing and puffing. And then right. how does this guy do that? You know, mm-hmm. so
beautiful.
It has worked for me, for sure. And I haven't been, last time I was injured was 1991.
Whoa. I wish I could say something like that. I feel like I got a lot of stuff going on. I surf a ton. I do jujitsu. I do rock climbing. I do capoeira and I do tennis. And I feel like I've got some kind of muscle tweak at least once a week.
Yeah.
Nothing serious, but, you know, constant, very minor injuries because I'm just doing too much stuff. Yeah. And I think I would need to do like an hour of massage every day to fully recover from all the exercise I do.
Yeah, that's for sure. I knew a guy that was doing some kind of CrossFit or something like that. And he came to me and he says, you know, if I don't hurt, I'm not doing it right.
Yeah, I mean, for me, there's nothing masochistic. It's just I'm just still very much like a little kid. I just want to be out playing and having fun, and I have so much energy and I have so much resilience to handle it all. But my soft tissues are definitely get beat up from it. You know, that's where I pay the price for it.
Yeah, well, if you're just starting running, you should have me show you running. You know, I can do a separate little thing for you. I'd love it.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, because it's really important if you're going to do that to start off right.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So what about the mental aspect of this? I feel like just based on how you've described it, you know, you're talking about this, the physical components to it, but it seems like very much infused in that is almost a mental attitude and sort of, I'm almost picturing people sort of reminding themselves like an affirmation to, you know, relax and like remember to do certain things. How much of this is sort of a mental attitude or mindset that people are taking into it versus the physical techniques?
Well, here's how it works. The more you engage your mind, that's why it becomes a mindful practice, right? Mindfulness practice. And the more you engage your mind to pay attention, to be sensitive to your environment, to be able to respond to what the terrain is requiring, that takes mental work, right? And to also remember how to be efficient, like, because I've broken chi running down into a lot of different pieces. So you can try to remember all of it or a little bit at a time, okay? But the more you can remember the pieces, the easier it is on your body. So the mind does the work and the body reaps the benefits. Okay. So your mind, and it's not like an affirmation. It's really specific parts, integrated, like focuses. We call them focuses. So for instance, like if you have tension in your traps and up in your neck, you know, I might have you do a focus, a one thing of like when you're running, just, you know, every 5 minutes, just keep running, but just drop your hands to your sides and let those traps just let go. Mm-hmm. And then while you're running with your hands down, just slowly let your arm bend, let your hand come back up into where your elbow bends. And then from there, allow your arms to swing rather than hold them up and trying to swing them. Let your shoulders drop and then just bring your hands up easily and then just allow your arms to just swing naturally. Mm-hmm. That's just one thing. So I could do stuff with your legs, your pelvis, your knees, your posture. So we have people do, you know, there's a bunch of basic focuses and then there's advanced focuses if you want to add speed or do hills or, you know, anything like that. So, and, you know, I've even, the one thing I did was I made an app that has all of these kind of lined up and you can pick and choose which one you want to practice today. Mm-hmm. And, but the key to all of this stuff, and when you said, is it a mental thing? It's absolutely a mental thing, but you use your mind to create change in your body. And that's kind of like a universal principle anyway, you know? And so, and repetition in terms of movement, learning how to learn a new movement pattern. The key is changing your neural pathways. You know, if you're used to moving your body a certain way and it's inefficient, guess what? You got to learn how to move it efficiently and you got to get rid of the old habit and ingrain a new habit. So repetition is king. Mm-hmm. Even if you're doing one little tiny thing, you do it 50, 100 times, you know, the whole thing, you know, if you want to match or something, do it 10,000 times. It doesn't take long to add up 10,000 arm swings. And once you got that, move to a different part, work on it, you know? So yes, it's mental, but not so much through affirmations and stuff. It's more what I base all of this stuff on is what I call body sensing. You want to feel it in your body. That's how you know your body's the one that's teaching you, right? So your body tells you when you have tension in your neck, you know, can't argue with that. You know, your body tells you if your knee hurts because you're landing too hard. Your body tells you if you're breathing too hard. So if you can listen carefully to your body, and then have these kind of focuses in the background that address each one of those things. And every time you feel one in your body, you just go, oh, I'll bring that up in the file, you know, my Rolodex, you know, what do I do to fix that? And then you have something and you can fix it right then. Start changing your movement right then. And guess what? The symptom goes away. So it's way different than like Western medicine. You have a knee pain, go get an Advil, mm-hmm. right? This one, where is that knee coming from? How am I landing? Am I overusing it? Is there too much impact? You know, you're being a detective all the time. But with the background of all of the little pieces that actually work for you, you just pull one out of your file and use it. Done.
I've been studying exercise physiology and biomechanics, health science more broadly since I was a little kid, since I was about 13 years old. And I've been an athlete since I was much younger than that. And my older brother, who's now a chiropractor and a world-class expert in pain and posture, mm-hmm. Was always my best friend and training partner growing up. So we both had a very strong background in biomechanics and other aspects of health science. Yeah. And we are when you train in that for a long period of time, when you see people doing stuff, your brain naturally starts to just see what's going on biomechanically. And it sure. instantly recognizes stuff that's wrong, as yeah. I'm sure you know very well, especially in the case of running. Even though I don't have an extensive background in running, I did many sports that involve running, and I know what good running looks like. I know the biomechanics of it very well. And I would say the vast majority of people that I see who are runners are running quite poorly. And it's yeah. not infrequent. You know, there are many instances, if I'm hanging out with my brother, we see somebody running by where we go, oh, please stop. Just stop running immediately. You know, like you're doing so much damage to your body. Please just stop it. You know, just walk until you can learn the proper biomechanics. And it's not an attitude of being judgmental. It's more like please, you're messing up your joints. You're creating so much impact and wear and tear on your joints by running in that way. I'm curious how common you think it is that people who are runners have poor biomechanics, and what would be maybe one or two of the most common errors that you see that people should become aware of and try to fix?
Yeah, so I would guess if I look around, if I'm at a race, you know, an event, and I'm watching everybody, I would guess that there's probably less than 10% of everybody I'm watching is doing it right. Mm. Okay. And the best time to watch people doing it wrong and the result of it doing it wrong is to watch a finish of a race. Right? Because then they've been like doing it wrong for like a 10K or a half marathon or whatever. And boy, it shows up at the end and they are like struggling. Okay. So I can see mostly what's going wrong with people is they're just overusing their legs. And when most people think that when you run, you have to like really reach with your legs and pull back and like doing this whole eating up the ground in front of you kind of thing. Right. And what that does, as soon as you reach with your legs, you put your foot out in front of your body. And when your foot hits the ground, you're putting the brakes on.
The heel strike.
Heel strike. You're decelerating. That's what they call it in, you know, exercise science. It's a deceleration. When your foot lands in front of your center of mass, it's going to slow you down. And on the other hand, you're pushing with your opposite leg and you're putting the brakes on with your forward leg. So here you are pushing like crazy with one leg while you're stopping yourself with the other leg. Okay. So when I say, you know, get rid of what slows you down. Yeah. Get rid of pushing too hard, get rid of hitting too hard. Mm-hmm. You push too hard, that's an overuse injury. Hitting too hard is an impact injury. One or the other is going to show up. And so that's why, that's where most people end up. And if you just happen to be a really strong person, you could probably last longer without really getting hurt, but eventually it's going to show up, you know? So if you don't clean up how you move, but that's probably the most, the worst thing I see people do is land with their foot in front of their body, you know, and or run upright. Most people run upright. Okay. If you run upright, like I said, then you have to push the center of mass forward. If you fall forward, you're falling. Just keep up with your fall. Watch the Kenyans. So I did a video, or I didn't, I watched a film of the start of the New York City Marathon. There's all these Kenyans right up front. And there's these like scattered a couple of white guys in the middle of the crowd, you know? And so the Kenyans come right past the camera. So I stop the camera right when it's, I stop the video right when it's horizontal to the camera. So I can see everybody's body position, you know? And the Kenyans have this huge forward fall going. And all the white guys chasing them down are bolt upright because that's how they're taught, right? And that alone is enough for me to see and go, I can tell you who's not going to keep with those guys the whole way. You know, I can predict, you know. So I can watch, you know, and it's interesting because it's not just all physical musculature and stuff like that. So when I see somebody running at this point, I can watch somebody run and get a pretty good take on what's going on in their life. What's not working? Where are they holding tension? Where, you know, where are they not letting go? That tells you a whole lot about a person. Mm. It's where they hold their tension. So if you can read that, then that's even another step closer to like being able to help them move. So a lot of runners, I have to, they can be much faster if they can also work through, or walkers, doesn't matter, if they can work through whatever tension they hold from their lives. And then, because that translates right into how free and easy they can actually move their body, or how complicated their mind is while they're trying to get a physical activity going, you know? You know, so the one of the biggest things I see also working against people that makes them an inefficient runner or a poor runner is how much is going on above the neck. People worried about how they're finishing, where they are relative to somebody faster than them, how they, you know, didn't train enough, or, you know, didn't eat the right meal before. There's so many things. And so what I do is I try to approach all of this as holistically as I can. So I don't just train a runner physically. I talk to them about, you know, how do you combine a good diet? How do you, you know, relax your mind? How do you work on all of those levels so that the most optimal movement can come out of your body? Mm-hmm. You know? Because it's not just about muscles. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have two last questions for you. One is, what is qi? Why qi? And how do you conceptualize what that is? Is it something mystical? Is it some mystical sort of energy we're tapping into and we're supposed to move through our body? Or is it something different from that?
It's definitely in your body, but it's not mystical. But it is different, because people ask that question and I go, well, you know, you can't measure it, you know, because now you're moving out of the realm of science, right? Science is the measurable. You know? So if you're talking qi, you're beyond the physical already. You're out of the science realm. But, you know, 4,000 years of Chinese using qi and developing it and accessing it tells you something about, you know, all of those people can't be wrong. So when I'll tell you, here's how I feel it. Okay. It's not like I all of a sudden feel energy coursing through my body or anything like that. but it comes to me as, more a sense of fluidity, more a sense of not a limited amount of power available. You know, it comes to me as an ease of movement. And it's not something I can say, okay, I'm going to turn on my chi right now. I'm going to be moving easy. No, I have to get to that place by setting up the conditions for energy to flow. So chi is the life force in your body. If the chi leaves your body, you're dead. That's basically it. That's what, you know, makes your heart beat. It's what makes you breathe. It's like, it's underneath it all, that life force energy that makes a difference between you and a rock. Okay. There is something different in there. Can you measure it? Nope. Can you see it? Nope. You know, can you pick it up in your hand and move it over here? No. But if it's not there, there's a pretty big difference in how you are. You're no longer with us. Mm-hmm. You know, so it is there, very much there. But people think it's mystical or something. Just because something's invisible doesn't mean it's not there. You know, that's proven all the time. Mm-hmm. Gravity. You know, just because it's invisible doesn't mean it's not there. Mm-hmm. And so chi works into the same kind of principles, but the way to access chi is to create the conditions for energy to flow. So when I say get rid of what slows you down and what blocks your energy, you know, it could be mental, it could be physical, it could be emotional, whatever blocks, the more you can get into building the habit of no resistance to anything, you know? So this is
actually
really the
path. I was going to ask you, how do you see these principles tying into life beyond running?
Oh my gosh. Running is like this much of my life, a tiny little percentage, and how all of what I learned from my running ties into like everything I do. Mm. I'll give you a really simple example. You know, if I'm cooking a meal, cooking dinner, right? I was a chef in my former life, okay? It's really important to be able to cook a good meal if you're not tripping over things and trying to search for one ingredient over here and bring it over here, and then you got your knife and everything's clumped over in front of your workspace. And I mean, I would be so exhausted by the end of cooking a meal. On the other hand, if I lay out my ingredients, if I know the process through which I'm going to go, alignment and relaxation. So then I can relax. I'm not searching for something that's not there. And then, so that just makes it move much easier. That allows energy to flow into the food preparation. When I'm done, the next step is to clean up after myself. So that when I leave the kitchen, it looks like nobody was there. Okay. That means that the next person that walks into the kitchen gets to start with a clean slate. They're not putting dirty dishes out of the way and, you know, trying to, you know, manage the kitchen while they're trying to get something done. Mm-hmm. So there, it translates to life in very simple, pretty applicable ways in everything, you know, how you do stuff depends on how much thought you put into it from beginning to end. And it all goes through a cycle, beginning to end. And the end should look a lot like the beginning of the next cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, that's efficiency.
Danny, where's the best place to learn chi running, and where do you want to direct people to?
I'd like to direct people to the chi running website. And it's just chirunning.com. And if you go there, they have a whole wide range of learning materials, everything from videos to audios to apps to, you know, you name it. And we also have one-on-one classes. You know, we have over 200 instructors all over the world, you know, and so you can find an instructor near you, wherever you live, pretty much. And all kinds of learning materials. Like I just wanted to make it so available to everybody that you didn't have any excuse to not learn it and do it well. And if people want to come from this podcast If you go to the Qi Running website, if you buy anything or go there, you can get 20% off of what I call the Qi Running School, which is a whole bunch of lessons you do online and you just watch them. And it's a little subscription thing. But if you use the, there's a discount code, RE20.
Mm. Oh, so wonderful. 20% Thank off. You so much. I didn't even know about this.
But then RE, yeah. And the Qi Running School is probably one of the best things because it breaks Qi Running into 104 lessons.
Wonderful.
Talk about detail.
Yeah. Danny, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your wisdom. We should all be so lucky as to look and perform like you at age 73. Well done for being not only a source of wisdom and amazing experience and knowledge, but also being a shining example of what to strive for personally. So thank you so much. And I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Ari. Yeah, it was fun. I appreciate it.
Hey there, this is Ari again. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, if you found it valuable, please share it with your friends, share it with your family. Help me get the word out there. Also, if you're on YouTube, make sure to hit the subscribe button and hit that little bell to get notifications every time we release a new video or new episode of the podcast. And if you're listening to this, make sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app. Thanks so much for supporting my work at the Energy Blueprint. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I will see you in the next.